Well, I wonder this morning, if you happen to know what a wise person looks like, would you be able to tell if someone you met was wise or foolish? In fact, a few years ago, Saga magazine, that well-known magazine, they decided to commission an opinion poll because they were fed up with too many younger celebrities turning up in the pages of the Daily Mail. And they thought that they would ask the great British public who they thought was the wisest person in our land. They decided to ask who was the wisest person in our land. And I wonder if you can guess who the great British public thought was the wisest person in the UK. And today I'm going to give you a clue to kind of help you. I'm going to tell you who came in second place. The person who came in second place was the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II. She was seen as the second most respectable, wisest person in our land. So who do you think that the public thought was wiser than the Queen? Who could possibly be wiser than the Queen? Ed has got a very puzzled look over there.
I'd go David Attenborough.
And you are correct, sir. Sir David Attenborough was considered to be wiser than the Queen. In fact, if we ever get rid of the Queen and we decide to go to a president and this man is still alive, you can bet that he will be president. But for all the people who were on the list, it was a combination of their age, their maturity, their respectability, their knowledge, and their long, long service that made them wise in the eyes of the public. And what an honour it must be to be thought of in this way, to be considered wise. Well, this morning, during our sermon at Westgate Chapel, we're going to be thinking this morning about what a wise person looks like. How would we spot a wise person? How would we know if there's actually anyone wise amongst us here this morning? And what would we need to aim for as Christians if we ourselves wanted to become wise? Because in the passage which we're going to be looking at this morning, in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, James begins with a question. And he wants to know, who is wise and understanding amongst us? Who is wise and understanding amongst us here at Westgate Chapel? So let's turn together to James chapter 3, and we're going to hear together what real wisdom looks like. And I'm going to pray that God would speak to us all. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. And this morning we pray that you would speak and show us what real wisdom looks like. Help us, Father, to see, help us to believe, and help us to become wise and understanding. And we say, pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Or James writes, and God speaks through James and says this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Well, we're going to begin this morning by seeing together that according to the Bible, according to what God says to us through James, being wise is about how you live. Being wise is about how you live. And this is in verse 13. Now, James begins our passage this morning with that question. Who is there who is wise and understanding among you? And the follow-up answer is surprising. Because according to James, being wise isn't about knowledge. You see, just because someone is clever, and I think Sir David Attenborough must be very clever indeed, just because someone has studied a lot, just because someone knows their Bible trivia and facts, just because someone has got loads of theology books at home, and sometimes they might even have read them, being knowledgeable doesn't make you wise. And according to James, being wise is not about your age either. You see, getting older doesn't automatically make you wise. Now, when you're a child, that's a startling fact. Surely every year that you put on the clock is making you older and bigger and stronger and wiser. But actually, as you grow up, you start to realise that age doesn't automatically make you wiser. When your 40th, 50th, 60th, even your 90th birthday comes around, you're not automatically wiser than you were. You see, according to James, and according to what God says to us through James this morning, being wise is about how you live now. So if we want to see who is wise in our church, if we want to see who's wise in our society, then we need to look at people's lifestyles. Because a wise person, James says in verse 13, they show it by their good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. You see, you're not wise because of how much you know. You're not wise because of how old you are. A person is wise because of how they're living today. Because of how they've chosen to live throughout the pandemic of the last 12 months or so. Because of how they've been living over the last 5 to 10 years. How they've been living their lives. It's how someone lives. It's the consistent pattern and the direction of someone's life that shows whether they are wise and understanding. And it's a major theme of the Bible. Because again and again throughout the Bible, we see that wise people show their wisdom in how they live their lives. And it's all to do with the practical, nitty-gritty stuff. Wise people in the Bible aren't like Yoda in Star Wars, sitting off in a jungle somewhere and uttering, well, all sorts of mystical nonsense. Wise people show it in the practical, nitty-gritty details of their life. That's why we have, right in the middle of our Bibles, an entire book dedicated to practical wisdom, called Proverbs. And it's 31 chapters long, and it's filled with all sorts of observations and anecdotes and little nuggets about what it means to live practically a wise life. What would it mean for you to be living wisely in the workplace? What would it mean for you to be speaking wisely? It's also why, in the New Testament, when we read the passages about what a person should be like if they want to become a church leader, if they're to become a deacon or an elder or a pastor, the main qualities are all to do with character. It's not focused on how old someone is. It's not focused on how much someone knows. You see, it doesn't matter if someone is a great preacher or if they're super knowledgeable or they've been around the block a bit. If someone doesn't show wisdom in their life, if their life isn't filled with good, with deeds done in humility, then they're not wise. Because wisdom is about how you live. Now, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches the disciples and he teaches the vast crowd who come to listen to him, and he teaches them. To judge something by its fruit. And especially if you want to judge whether a Christian leader or a Christian teaching, If you want to test whether it is true or not, you need to look at the fruit. Jesus says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Well, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So one of the ways in which we see whether someone is wise, one of the ways in which we judge whether a person would make a good Christian leader, one of the ways in which we see whether someone is growing as a Christian, is by looking to see whether they're producing good fruit or bad fruit in their life. And a telltale sign, according to James, is when we see that someone is provoked by bitterness and jealousy, when their life seems to be producing bad fruit. Because as we'll see secondly this morning, wisdom, real wisdom, doesn't lead to bitterness. This is in verses 14 to 16. James says this, but if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And I think there's a couple of things, key things to note here. And the first is that there is a worldly wisdom that's not out there, but starts within here, within our hearts. That's earthly and unspiritual, and something that doesn't need to be taught. And this wisdom bubbles up within us naturally, and it hurts people. It fails to love others as ourselves. It hurts relationships and it hurts communities. And it's resentful and jealous and fearful. You see, if someone claims to be wise, wise as a Christian, but their life is filled with broken relationships and bitterness, then we know the fruit is bad. If a church seems to be teaching the Bible faithfully, but the pews are filled with people who are judging one another or constantly trying to play keeping up with the Joneses, then we know the fruit is bad. If people gather together each week to come and ask for God's forgiveness, but don't freely show that same forgiveness to one another and become increasingly bitter, then we know the fruit is bad. So if we want to find wise people amongst us, what we need to do is to look at how people live. Because wisdom doesn't lead to bitterness. So what are we looking for? What is the sign of a wise person? Well, I think the best way to summarize it, of what James goes on to say in verses 17 to 18, as we'll see thirdly and finally, is that wisdom leads to gentleness. Real wisdom leads to gentleness. Just listen to what James has to say. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Do you notice that James says, for real wisdom isn't something that comes naturally to us. You don't get it by being knowledgeable or by growing older. It's a gift that comes from God. Because the wisdom that James is talking about, it comes from heaven. It's pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate and submissive. It's full of mercy and impartial and sincere. And we see this most clearly in Jesus. Because Jesus came from heaven to earth. He's the Son of God who became one of us. He came down here. Jesus is pure. He's the only one who has never sinned and never will sin. Jesus is peace-loving. He came to bring peace between God and people, and he created the church, an incredible body of people from every race and every class and every gender and every corner of this incredible earth. And he unites us together in him. Jesus is considerate. He knows what people really need. From the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, who was going out there in the middle of the day, to the leper that Jesus meets out in the wilderness at the beginning of Mark's gospel, who could never be cleansed, to the friends when they lowered their paralyzed friend down through the hole in the roof of that house. Jesus is considerate. He knows what people need. Jesus is submissive to the Father's will, so he goes to the cross and dies for us. And he's full of mercy, continually showing forgiveness and forgiveness to us when we sin and we come to him again and again and again for help. Jesus is impartial. He loves us as we are. He knows each and every one of us. And he's sincere, because every word that Jesus has ever said is true, completely and utterly true. Jesus is, in short, the wisest person who has ever lived. He is wisdom. Sir Richard Attenborough or the Queen or Gandhi, they've got nothing on the wisdom of Jesus. Because in Jesus we see how real wisdom is gentle and good and loving and peaceful. And Christians, mature Christians, faithful everyday believers, will show some of the wisdom of Jesus in their lives. Because as Jesus has been telling us again and again, as James has been telling us again and again and again, our faith transforms us. The Holy Spirit works within Christians to change us, to do something dramatic, and to give us the wisdom that comes from heaven, to help us to become more and more like Jesus. So that in our lives we'll be gentle like Jesus, pure and peace-loving like him, seeking the good of others first and foremost. And I think in verse 18, James gives us a few good reasons why we want that wisdom amongst us. Why we should all want our lives to be marked by the wisdom of gentleness. Because James closes our passage by saying, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And it's particularly those final words, "a harvest of righteousness." Because if we enjoy the wisdom that leads to gentleness, it's good for us. It's good for us as individuals. It's good that we're growing in godliness, that we're in step with the Holy Spirit. But it's also good for the church spiritually. If we're a people of peace, if we seek forgiveness, if we seek to end arguments, if we seek to turn the cheek, if we seek to bury grudges, if we seek to put the preferences and needs of others ahead of our own, if we let love cover a multitude of sins and failings, if we let peace rule us, what a joy it is to be part of God's church. And a church who are united in love and peace is a church that is good for the world. Because then we'll be able to show the community around us the truthfulness of the gospel. Because God's people are meant to be a beacon, an example of what God has done for us and what Jesus can do for them still. Who then, James asks us this morning, is wise and understanding among you? And one of the joys of being a church minister is that I get to stand up here on a Sunday morning and look around at your lovely faces, and imagine some of them at home as well, and see lots of signs of this wisdom. In some people, the signs are very small, it has to be said. But in others, the wisdom of heaven is shining down and clear and bright. Because true wisdom doesn't come from a head that is stuffed full of Puritans and Bible trivia. True wisdom can be found in the young as it is as much in the old. But true wisdom is found among the gentle, found among those who see the good in others, found among those who love God and love others, who are gentle and peaceful and sincere and kind. And what a joy it is to see that fruit in the lives around us, to see what a difference that following Jesus for 20, 30, 40, 50 years can make. This wisdom comes from knowing that by ourselves we are not naturally wise. Because left to ourselves, we would be bitter and jealous. We are all sinners who are in need of forgiveness, who need new hearts, who need God's wisdom. But earlier in James, he told us about a prayer that God loves to answer. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So we're going to pray together. We're going to ask that God would give us wisdom, that he would help us to become more like Jesus, that we might show gentleness to all in our lives. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of wisdom. And this morning, Father, we pray that you would give us that wisdom. Help us, Father, to not be bitter, to not be envious, to not be jealous, to not embrace the wisdom of division and one-upmanship of the world that so naturally occurs within us, but instead to come to you for forgiveness. And may the Spirit show us our need of our Saviour, and may the Spirit work to make us more like him, to make us peaceable, to make us loving, to make us sincere and submissive and kind and gentle, just as he is. Father, we thank you for the signs of that incredible grace amongst us, signs of changed hearts, changed lives, where we ask for more. Help us, Father, to be truly wise, to love as the Lord Jesus Christ did. We know that that is something that can only come from you. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit would continue to work powerfully amongst us, making us all ever wiser until he calls us home or he comes again. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.